It is indeed good to be gathered with all of you on this beautiful evening and this time of fellowship and worship. I think we should do it again. You know, when we first planned this, it was out of a place of necessity. We didn't want to cancel our Wednesday night supper, but we also needed to account for what it takes for us as a church to host the Empty Bowls Bread of the Mighty Food Bank fundraiser that's happening tomorrow. But something happened when we sat down together, because I was looking at the calendar and seeing when this was falling, and I happened to notice that yesterday I was scheduled to lead our Stepping Stones children, our preschoolers, in chapel, and I was going to be sharing with them the story of Jesus' post-resurrection appearance to his disciples on the beach at the Sea of Galilee when he cooked them fish for breakfast. So I said, hey, let's worship outside and have a fish fry. It'll be perfect. We can have fish. Jesus cooked fish for his disciples. And we could collect a love offering for Imagine No Malaria, because yesterday was World Malaria Day. And just $10 buys a mosquito net that can literally save the life of a child. And hey, the disciples used nets to catch fish. So there's all kinds of just brilliant, you know, symbolism. He said, wait, did that really happen? I mean, I don't remember a story of Jesus, right, Kim? I mean, this happened, right? I don't remember Jesus cooking breakfast for anybody. So, of course, you know what I did next. I pulled out the Bible, and I read the story, just like I'm going to do for you now. But first, why don't we pray together? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us this gorgeous evening, so that in the reading of the scripture, your word is heard. In the meditations of our hearts, your word is known. And in the faithfulness of our lives, your word is shown. Amen. Amen. So now hear this reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 1 to 14. After this, Jesus appeared again to the disciples, this time at the Tiberias Sea, the Sea of Galilee. This is how he did it. Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed Twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the brother Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. Simon Peter announced, I'm going fishing. The rest of them replied, we're going with you. They went out and got in the boat. They caught nothing that night. When the sun came up, Jesus was standing on the beach, but they didn't recognize him. Jesus spoke to them, good morning. Did you catch anything for breakfast? They answered, no. He said, throw the net off the right side of the boat and see what happens. They did what he said. All of a sudden, there were so many fish in it, they weren't strong enough to pull it in. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the master. When Simon Peter realized that it was the master, he threw on some clothes, for he was stripped for work, and dove into the sea. The other disciples came in by boat, for they weren't far from land, 100 yards or so, pulling along the net full of fish. When they got out of the boat, they saw a fire laid with fish and bread cooking on it. Jesus said, bring some of the fish you've just caught. Simon Peter joined them and pulled the net to shore. 153 big fish. And even with all those fish, the net didn't rip. Jesus said, breakfast is ready. Not one of the disciples dared ask, who are you? They knew who was the master. Jesus then took the bread and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus had shown himself alive to the disciples since being raised from the dead. The word of God for the people of God, and God's people say, thank you, Jesus, God. So in a previous post-resurrection appearance, Jesus had instructed the disciples to go on to Galilee, the place where it had all began, and he would meet them there. Now, speaking of how it all began, if this story sounds familiar to you, that's why. You might remember in Luke chapter 5, when Jesus first called Peter to follow him, Peter had been fishing. And that story went like this. The disciples came back from fishing. fishing, having caught nothing, and Jesus climbed into their boat to teach them while they cleaned their nets. After he was done teaching, Jesus told them to push out into deep water and let out their nets for a catch. Peter was like, "We've been fishing all night and didn't catch anything, but if you say so." So what happened? They caught such a large number of fish, their nets began to break. When that happened, Peter fell to his knees, called Jesus Lord, and Jesus said to Peter, "From now on, you'll fish for people." So now we fast forward 3 years. Jesus had suffered, died on the cross, was laid in a tomb, rose from the dead, and had promised to appear to his disciples without saying exactly where or when. So what did they do? While they were waiting for Jesus to appear, they returned to what they knew, fishing. And just like when they met Jesus the first time, they hadn't caught a thing until Jesus told them what to do. When he called them to follow, he had instructed them to go out into deeper water. This time, he instructed them to cast their net on the other side of the boat. And I think that's our first lesson. Sometimes in our personal lives, for sure, but even as a church, we fall into the habit of doing things our way, time and again the same way, expecting results, but come up with nets empty. Know what I mean? I think we all have stories about reaching a point in our lives when what we had been doing was no longer working, and so we stopped, prayed, and asked God what we should do, and bam, everything changed. That's why I love Peter in this story, and the Luke story for that matter. When I think of a first century fisherman, especially one who's, I don't know if you noticed this or not in the story, but they needed his help to drag that net ashore. So I think about this guy they needed to haul in 153 large fish, and I think of this big, bearded, everyday, ordinary guy with huge Popeye arms, right? That's how I think of Peter. And then I imagine this same guy being told by a rabbi how to fish. Push out into deeper water, he says. Cast your net on the other side of the boat, he says. And he's like, whatever. And goes along with it. And then when the advice works, in typical Peter fashion, there's this overzealous response. You know, this cry of, "Lord," and he covers those naked Popeye arms because he's been working, and he dives out of the boat. Almost poetic meanings, like at the time this story happened, there were only 153 known nations, and so this was to demonstrate that as the disciples fished for people, they would make disciples of all nations, just like the Great Commission calls for. The most commonly held theory is that it is simply a matter of historical record. that had been passed down time and again as this story was told, which makes sense when you think about it. I know that when I went fishing for sand bass with my uncles in Dallas this past November, I caught 29 fish. I did. All by myself. 29 fish. It's a matter of historical record. But let's assume for a minute that we are, in fact, meant to infer a more allegorical meaning, like the all nations theory. In August 2015, five of us from Trinity went to Malawi, Africa, on a mission trip to see firsthand this incredible and amazing work that God is doing through World Vision in the villages there. And we met children who are being sponsored at the rate of $40 per month, and how just one sponsored child can change entire families, villages even. And we came back and we shared this story and on a Sunday morning, and on that Sunday morning secured 150. And as I wrote that, I was thinking, how cool would it have been to say 153 additional, I'm going to say it, 153 additional, well, we have to sponsor three more children, 150 additional children, additional sponsorship for children in villages throughout Nkoma and Chelenje in Malawi. So that's $6,000 more a month that's being used to not only improve lives, but literally is used to make disciples of Jesus. You know, the United Methodist Church, our stated mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And seeing how this money is being used in Malawi, I can tell you that there's disciple making happening there that is changing their world. And those sponsorships, I mean, it's a simple thing. We are a people blessed of means. And that is a simple thing for us to do. And that is how we are literally fishing for people across the Atlantic on another continent. And that's just how a $10 donation tonight can actually do the same thing. Hopefully, if you joined us for the great fish dinner that Franny and her team put together, as you entered the line, you noticed the plexiglass box with where we were collecting the love offering, and I can see it from here, and it's filled with cash. And so tonight was not, there's not an offering for the church. It wasn't to pay for the dinner. Tonight was just an offering we wanted to collect to help do something about a problem that can be solved, and that's malaria. So $10 buys a net that will save a life. But what's more beautiful than the fact that the $10 net saved a life is that it is literally a tangible expression of God's love. It is a reminder for the recipient of this net that someone somewhere in the world who loves Jesus loves them too. And that's how the process begins. God, indeed, we are so grateful for this opportunity that you've given us tonight to stand outside and enjoy the spring breeze, enjoy the setting sun, enjoy the beauty of the birds of the air and our children laughing and playing, the beauty of a shared meal, the beauty of sharing a time of worship. We are gathered shoulder to shoulder with our brothers and sisters in Christ, seeking to glorify you this night. And we indeed have been built up by having been gathered together in your presence. And so as we go about, after having had this midweek time of worship, this time to strengthen us and to nourish us spiritually and physically, we pray that like Peter and the disciples, we remember that we are fishers of people. And so so as we go about the work that you have set before us for the rest of this week, we have that in mind, that we show those that we encounter in our everyday, ordinary lives the love of Christ. We ask all of this in his precious name.